Our scripture today comes from Acts 8, 26 through 40. In the Pew Bibles, it is page 955. I'll be reading from the NIV version. Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship and was on his way home, was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all of the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We're certainly thankful for the word of God. I just love this story. I don't know if you do too. I wish I was a bug on the wall in this story and I could have witnessed it with my own eyes. But I've heard this story many times and I absolutely love this story. Before Jesus was lifted up to be with the Father, he called his disciples to be witnesses, even to the ends of the earth. Here in chapter 8, we find an Ethiopian reading God's word. That's a great start to go to the ends of the earth, a golden opportunity for sure. It was an opportunity for the good news to go south to the continent of Africa. For this man surely represented the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. So what was the problem? He had the scroll. He had the scroll of the prophet Isaiah right there in front of him. But he did not understand what he was reading. How could he unless someone was there to explain it to him? Now, who was this Ethiopian eunuch? I wish we had his name, don't you? But perhaps his name is left out because he represents everyone who is an outsider, everyone who is marginalized. He was a foreigner and a sexual minority, prevented by religious law from being a full participant in Israel's religion. What do we know about him? We know that he comes from an African country south of Egypt, and in his home country of Ethiopia, he had a high, elevated social status. The text reveals that he was very important and he was in charge of all the treasury of the queen of Ethiopia. In other words, he served in the royal court and had a critical job, responsibility over the finances. But what of the fact that he was a eunuch? Karen Baker Fletcher explains, sexual status was probably of greater concern to the eunuch than his racial, ethnic, or national background. In ancient days, a eunuch was a castrated male servant who was trusted to perform social functions for the royals. Eunuchs were neutered male human persons who were deemed safe to serve among women in the royal household. As a eunuch, he was well suited for his role under the queen, but excluded religiously in Israel. According to Deuteronomy and Leviticus, a castrated male will not be granted access to the temple. He was not permitted to enter the assembly of the Lord. However, Barbara Brown Taylor encourages us to see the positives rather than the negatives. What are the positive traits of this Ethiopian rather than the negative ones? She says, the text presents the Ethiopian as someone wealthy enough to ride in a chariot, educated enough to read Greek, devout enough to study the prophet Isaiah, and humble enough to know that he cannot understand what he is reading without help. Certainly he was wealthy. He not only possessed horse and chariot, but also had purchased the scroll of Isaiah. Now in those days, it wasn't as inexpensive to buy a Bible. You know, it's much less expensive now than it was then, because that was well before the printing press. And so everything had to be written by hand. Bibles and scrolls were rare. And so this man must have had some money to purchase the scroll of Isaiah. Certainly he was educated. Only a small percentage of the population was able to read in those days. Education was reserved for the upper class. Certainly he was religious. He had taken this long distance pilgrimage all the way from Ethiopia to Israel to celebrate perhaps one of the great feasts. He was enough, no doubt about it. But there was one thing that he was lacking: the full understanding of God's grace. And if we're honest, that's also lacking today, the full understanding of God's grace. Grace to us seems almost counterintuitive. We're used to working for what we get. We're used to earning things, but grace is a gift. It seems almost too good to be true. You mean I don't have to earn God's favor? What? You mean I don't have to work my way into heaven? Really? Modern day Phillips approach our chariots and ask, do you understand what you are reading? If we have humility, we reply, how can I understand unless there's somebody, anybody, to explain it to me? However, if someone lacks a humble heart, they might just try to figure it out for themselves. They might think they know, but they don't really know. So instead of accurately representing the gospel of Jesus, they misrepresent the message. In doing so, they fail to understand the gospel, almost as if it's a work to achieve rather than a gift to receive. They venture forth on the same questions as the Ethiopian. They inquire to the how of the Bible, but also the who. Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Is the prophet Isaiah talking about me? It's all about me and my story. Or is it about him and his story? It's God's story, isn't it? Church, we need to get the story straight. The Church of God really needs to get the story straight. There are spiritually hungry people out there in Greece, in Monroe County, New York State, United States, the world even. There are spiritually thirsty people out there in Europe, Africa, Asia, North America, South America, Central America. What are they hungry for? What are they thirsty for? Well, they're not longing for more burdens. They've got enough of those. They're not longing for more law. There's plenty of legalism out there. But know this, going to church and following Jesus is not a long list of do's and don'ts. No, what the unbelieving world really needs is God's grace. What the people truly need is the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ and how he came to save us. But how will they hear it? And who will tell them? Who will tell the Ethiopian the gospel? And how will he hear about God's grace? Well, God was not about to leave this man in the lurch. No, God took the initiative. He initiated the action. It says in the text that God sent an angel of the Lord to Philip. Be aware that there's another translation of angel that's available. And the translation is messenger. Because oftentimes angels were messengers from heaven that brought God's message to earth. Angels were often dispatched to carry the heavenly message down to earth. So this faithful messenger, it doesn't say his name or her name, went to Philip below and brought this message. Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, if you think about it, if you were in his place, wouldn't you have had a lot of questions for the angel? What? How? Why? Who? Me? But with no hesitation, Philip quietly obeys like a good soldier following the orders of his commander. So he started out on foot, and on his way, Philip met an Ethiopian eunuch who was in the chariot reading the book of Isaiah. This was no accident. It was no coincidence. Indeed, it was a divine appointment. 5 minutes earlier, and the Ethiopian would have been miles away. Five minutes later, and the Ethiopian in the chariot would have been long gone. It was meant to be. God intended it to be. When Philip arrived at these coordinates on the map, the latitude and longitude of God's design, that place in the desert at just the right time of day, God gave further instructions. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near. Did Philip hesitate? No. Did Philip walk? No. Did Philip jog? No. The text says that Philip ran to the chariot. Now, some of you may be protesting at this point, saying, my days of running are over. I haven't run since I played on the team over at Greece Athena, or Greece Olympia, or Greece Arcadia, or maybe at Hilton High. I haven't run in a long time. But that's not really the point, is it? The point is he got there as quick as he could, as fast as he could get there. He didn't hesitate. He didn't wait. But when God commanded, when the Spirit prompted him, he went. He was at the ready. And we can do the same, whether we walk or run or jog, or whether we go by car or boat or plane or train, we're going to get there when God wants us to get there. When God says jump, we'll say, how high? I'm ready to go. But back to our story. Even though the horse had four legs and he only had two, Philip overtakes the chariot. When he arrives, the Ethiopian is reading. Now, you have to know that in those days, they didn't read silently like what we do. They didn't just pick up a book and start reading it quietly. No, they read it out loud. That's the way they did it. And so Philip could overhear what he was reading. But Philip asks this very interesting question. And he says to the Ethiopian, do you understand what you are reading? It's kind of like what educators may call a comprehensive reading exam for reading comprehension. How can I, replied the royal official, unless somebody is there to explain it to me? Next, the Ethiopian demonstrated hospitality by inviting Philip to come up there and sit next to him in the chariot so that they could read together. Now, the Ethiopian was reading from Isaiah 53, the last of four servant songs in the book of Isaiah. And sometimes people look at the book of Isaiah in the Bible and say that it could be considered the fifth gospel, because like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it speaks so clearly of Jesus Christ. And he was reading from a chapter that includes these familiar words. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We know that man. It's the man that died on that cross. That's who Isaiah is talking about. But the Ethiopian didn't know that. He needed someone to explain it to him. He needed someone to help him in his understanding of the Old Testament. The Ethiopian read these words from Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? Perhaps the eunuch could identify with the suffering servant, for certainly he, at some point in his life, may have experienced humiliation or injustice. Thomas Long explains, as a eunuch, he would know fully well about humiliation and justice denied, and he was wondering if God was speaking to him and to his experience of being an outcast in Israel. But the news turned out to be even better than the Ethiopian could ever have imagined. Not only does God know and understand the eunuch's experience of humiliation and injustice, but Jesus himself took on that lowly and outcast state. Did you hear that part? Jesus himself took on his lowly and outcast state. Jesus was humiliated. He did that for you and for me. What a Savior we have. Although his name is only mentioned once in the passage, Jesus is the star of the show. Even though Philip and the Ethiopian are on the stage, it's Jesus that's in the spotlight. So when the eunuch asked Philip, "Please tell me, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. What a wonderful strategy. That's the way to do it. Start with where the person is at and then work your way to Jesus. Jesus is the answer to the question. Jesus is the solution of the problem. Jesus is the oasis in the desert of their trouble. This story recorded in Acts 8 shows us clearly the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit inspired Philip to preach Jesus. The Spirit opened up the Ethiopian's heart to receive Jesus, and the Spirit uncovered some water along the road. And all at once the eunuch said, "Look, here is some water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So what happens next? They stopped the chariot, they pulled to the side, and the Ethiopian went with Philip into the water and got dunked for the Lord. He took a splashdown for God. He was converted, symbolizing by his baptism in the water that was provided by God along the road that day. What a blessing. What a tremendous blessing to be baptized in the name of God. The gospel was on its way to the very ends of the earth by God's grace. You know, by his grace, God opens up the way for the gospel today. And grace begins in a place like this, where a massive cross is directly above me, representing that Jesus died for you and for me, that Jesus gave his life on the cross so that our sins may be forgiven. That's grace personified. By his blood, we are set free and forgiven. And it was right in this place, 1 week ago yesterday, on a Saturday, that we gathered in those pews right up there where Dave and Joe are sitting to have a men's conference. And the men's conference was organized by Don Montesano, and he brought in a special speaker, Reverend Jim Crowley. Any of you ever heard of Jim Crowley? Jim Crowley came to speak to us from Saving Grace Ministries. And with a name like Saving Grace, what do you think Jim talked to us about? Grace. He started off with grace. how it's often misunderstood, and what we really desperately need to know about God's amazing grace. Jim explained to the men in the men's conference that we can't earn God's favor, but we must receive it as a gift. This made a big impact on the 10 or 12 people that were there. It reminded each of us that our sins are really, truly forgiven. It's not based on what we do, but it's based on what he has already done, what he's already accomplished for us on the cross. Hopefully the conference had a ripple effect. Listening men went home to tell their wives and children, their friends and neighbors, about what God has done and what God is still doing. Here's what it was all about. Grace. God's grace. So what can we learn from this account in the Bible about Philip and the Ethiopian? One thing is that Philip really focused his message on one person, Jesus. God's word focuses on Jesus, certainly in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament, because all those Old Testament sacrifices are fulfilled in the perfect sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And many times when the prophets were speaking about Christ or the Messiah, it was the long-expected one, Jesus, who fulfilled all their hopes and dreams. One book that Rose and I appreciate is written by Michael Williams, How to Read the Bible Through the Jesus Lens. In other words, you can read any book of the Bible, Genesis, Psalms, even Acts, with Jesus sharply in focus. It's as if you're wearing a pair of glasses that makes the blurry images crystal clear. Here's what Williams said about the book of Acts. In Acts, Jesus continues to act through the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer. That fact shines through in the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. It's the Spirit of Christ inspiring every action, each step towards salvation. So it is with us. Williams continues. He says, we must let the Spirit of the risen Christ empower our witness to the gospel. In other words, the gospel is not just for you and for me, but it's for people that are outside, down Long Pond Road, down Edgemere, over in the town of Greece, over in Rochester, in other states, in other countries throughout the world. People need to know Jesus. And we're called to be messengers, proclaimers, announcers of the good news. Now, to be witnesses, do we need to leave the country? Not necessarily, because in many ways, the nations are already coming to us. In Philip's day, the African eunuch, the Ethiopian, was not far from him. In fact, he was just down the road. He had already come to Jerusalem to celebrate one of the festivals. And so he was right there, almost on site. And so it is with us. There are many nations of the world representing in our area. People have come to Rochester from China, India, Canada, Italy, Jamaica, Venezuela, Ecuador, Haiti, and many other countries. So what are we to do? Wait and pray. Wait for opportunities and pray for the Spirit. For it is so true that the Spirit provides opportunities, and the Spirit provides words to speak, and the Spirit provides motivation for us to tell other people about Jesus. So people of God, pay close attention to any and all divine appointments. The Spirit activates your ears to hear God's call. The Spirit activates your eyes to see opportunities. And the Spirit emboldens you to be strong and courageous. Brave disciples poised to march through open doors. Why? Because there's a world out there that desperately needs God's grace. There's a world outside the four walls of this church that really, truly needs the gospel. They need to know Jesus. Not just about Jesus either, but they need to know him in relationship so that they may be saved. It's true that God reminds us that we are messengers. He equips each one of us to declare the word, to proclaim the gospel, to announce his grace personified in Jesus. Who was Philip? He was a man following God's call. Who are we? We are people following God's call to the very ends of the earth, so that the world may know and understand the beauty of God's amazing grace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people say, amen. Let's pray. Lord, that the world may know your grace, that the world may understand your grace, that the world may know Jesus. Lord, take us even to the very ends of the earth, that we may communicate the gospel. And even when we don't have to go very far, when the people come to us, help us not to be afraid, but to be courageous and to be reliant on you to give us the words to speak, so that we may effectively communicate the gospel that's all about Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. Let's rise and say our faith in God.